T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Hello. I am not Damon Bruce. I'm Matt Kolsky. I'm here alongside John Dickinson, JD, in for Damon, who is a little bit under the weather. Head cold. Head cold is what I'm hearing. We hope Damon gets better soon.
We do.
We expect he'll be back on Monday. But in the meantime, we got business to do. Bay Bridge Series is back on. Baseball resumes. I don't know about you, JD, but I'm sure I'm wrong, but somehow in my head, 90 feels like an awful lot of games before the All-Star break, and I feel like we're almost at the end. Like, it's the stretch run. We're ready to go. Let's finish this thing off.
It is an awful lot of games. And when they, MLB, they moved the start date up a few days to try and have more off days during the season.
But didn't change the All-Star break.
They put the All-Star break, the All-Star game a week later than it had normally been. If you go back through, you know, not to bore everybody with the calendar here, but a July 17th All-Star game. I'll go back to when the All-Star game was in San Francisco in 2007.
Week after the 4th.
It was July 10th, 2007. Well, this year, that Tuesday was July 10th and July 17th. Well, this year was on the 17th, so it was a week later. So the regular season started 4 days earlier, and the All-Star game was 7 days later. So that's your 10-day gap right there that you're talking about.
You know, you apologize for boring people with that, but I thank you for having that information because it makes me feel like I'm not insane after all.
No, you're definitely not insane.
All right. So it is feeling like crunch time. And of course, that's made even more so by the fact that 10 days from now, we got the trade deadline. And both of the Bay Area's teams, I think, you can make an argument anyway, should be involved at that trade deadline. Now, exactly what happens, we're going to find out. One thing we did want to do to start today is just sort of survey the scene from the playoff perspective. And our little idea in the production room was a quick ranking, a quick power ranking, if you will, of Bay Area baseball playoff possibilities. In other words, in theory, both the Giants and A's could either win their division or win a wild card. Of those four options, what are the most likely? I'm very interested to see the middle. I think we probably agree the A's getting a wild card is the most likely playoff scenario.
Yeah, I think they're going to get it.
I agree.
And I actually said it a week ago, you know, when they were starting to make their run. I actually think they're only going to get hotter. Now, maybe the All-Star break cools them off for a week. Maybe they lose a game in this series and struggle a little bit on the road compared to the pace that they've been playing. That could even be just being 500 for a week to 10 days.
Sure.
But I think eventually they're going to get hot, and they've already started to show where they were losing every game basically to the Astros. Now they're at least going to split with the Astros the rest of the way. And if they show a similar form and a trend against the Mariners, a team that they'd lost 6-9-2 in the final 10, they're going to pass them just based on that
just
alone.
Beating them. Yeah,
so
agreed.
I actually think you could make a case that the A's are going to win that second wild card going away.
I think there's a very good chance of that. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Because I think we can also probably agree that the least likely option is the Giants getting a wild card. The NL wild card, I think, is probably out of reach for them.
See, I put the least likely as winning the division.
The Giants or the A's?
The Giants winning the division. Well, the A's winning the division could be least likely just based on the Astros are really good.
Well, that's the thing. Those are the two things to me, because the Giants division is clearly worse than the A's division. But the A's are clearly better than the Giants right now. So which of them is more likely to win their division, I think, is a really interesting conversation.
It's got to be the Giants by default, more likely to win their division.
Does the Manny Machado move change your opinion on that at all?
Not really. I think the Dodgers were the favorite to begin with. So I put L.A. as the favorite to win the division.
I agree with that, but this was convincing to me. Because you had a first half. I guess I'll say it this way. The Manny Machado deal feels to me as impactful as any move for a single player ever is. Because it's a Dodgers team that had already underperformed, I think. Even given the injuries, they underperformed in the early going throughout the course of the first half. And to now add an MVP-level player to a team that was already starting to heat up, and basically you're filling that void that Corey Seager left when he got injured early in the season, maybe even in the first game. It was very early in the season. So, boy, to me, that's like pressing the turbo button on a race car that was already just getting to its top speed, and I have a real hard time seeing the Giants catching the Dodgers at this point.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's more likely to happen than we see the A's beat out the Astros. That's where I'm coming from on it. If we're just comparing those two things.
Yeah.
And I do think the Dodgers are better today than they were on Sunday.
No doubt.
But I think the Dodgers were probably going to win that division anyway, although I would disagree a little. I think sometimes we compare the Dodgers to what they were last year, and as far as what they should be and mm-hmm. this and that. And you qualified the injuries, which I think is fair. But I don't think this Dodgers team was going to be, you know, in the hundreds necessarily this year. I think this is, you know, mid-90s, still darn good.
That's
94,
still darn good,
95,
yeah.
Still darn good and still good enough to win that division because Arizona, Colorado, and San Francisco are splitting the vote, essentially, a lot more than they did last year. Last year, those teams were beating San Francisco, and San Francisco couldn't beat the Padres either.
The Giants were giving wins out all over the place.
And those three teams rose to the occasion to where they were clear-cut the top three teams and wound up, you know, all making the postseason.
Yeah. As you look at the wild card race right now, obviously we know the A's are three games behind the Mariners. The way the Yankees and Red Sox are playing, it's hard to imagine that that first wild card is ever going to be in play. The problem for the Giants is, in addition to their division, there's already two teams holding those top spots that have been pretty darn good in the Braves and Brewers. There's a lot of baseball teams between the Giants and a wild card spot, even if the gap isn't that big.
Yeah, and I'm looking at some of those teams. I'm not sure about Atlanta. I think Milwaukee's pretty good. I think Arizona's solid. You know, Washington could make a run. I'm not totally sold on Philadelphia either. I think the Cubs wind up getting in. I think the Dodgers wind up getting in. The Cardinals, I'm not impressed with them. We'll see if it changes, you know, with the managerial change. But they weren't going anywhere.
They were playing poorly, certainly, in the last
month.
Before
they made that move on Matheny, they weren't going anywhere. So I think, you know, I don't love all of those teams. I think there's enough of them where if the Giants start playing well, they could pass a couple of those teams in the wild card. So I'm not totally ruling out the wild card if the Giants can get themselves to 10, 12 games over 500. That's the big question. Can the Giants play well enough to get themselves to 10 or 12 over 500? And that's where I become instantly skeptical.
Yes. Now, I think, first of all, it's easy to say they can't if they don't get healthy. I mean, that's the first thing for this team, because it doesn't matter if you make a trade deadline deal. If you don't have Bumgarner and Cueto and Posey and hopefully Panic and Duggar playing well, if you don't have everybody healthy and playing reasonably well, the Giants really have no chance here. So that's the first thing. The next part of it, though, and this is something we'll address over the course of the afternoon with both teams, is you probably want to add. And especially with the Giants, the only logical place you really can add, I would say, is the starting pitching.
They could add relief help, I think.
You can
always add
a reliever here or there, but I think Strickland was pretty darn good in that closer role. They've had some pretty good setup guys over the course of the year. Obviously, Tony Watson is excellent. And if it's Ray Black, right?
Well, they already have too many starters, as is.
Too many, but not enough really good ones.
Right, but I think they're in a position where they can kind of ride out what they have and maybe shorten the game in the middle of the game a little bit, because they've got a lot of five-and-dive kind of starters.
Yeah.
And even Johnny Cueto at this point probably
we don't know
is
what
that
he's gonna be.
Kind
right.
of a guy. And I actually don't think you can count on Cueto to pitch the remainder of the year. I think anytime Johnny Cueto takes the ball, it could be the last time he takes the ball for the
You're
season.
You're not buying that his arm is all good.
Not at all. And I don't. He's looked like a pitcher to this point that doesn't trust what he has in that elbow and in that arm. So I think if you said, JD, do you think Cueto's going to finish the year pitching, you know, make every start, let's say, even if they give him extra time, or make 90% of his starts, maybe he has to miss one or two the mm-hmm. rest of the way. I think there's some point where he's getting shut down.
Certainly he'll be shut down if they're not competing. What was that? Oh, exciting news for the Belt family. Brandon Belt on paternity leave. He is going to miss tonight's game. Do we have the full lineups out? We'll look into that in a second. I know the A's lineup is out for tonight. We'll get to those in just a couple minutes. But for me, especially if you think Cueto's not going to be there, I understand that Holland and Rodriguez and, frankly, even Block and Stratton, almost everyone that Suarez, almost everyone they've trotted out there has hung in there. They've given you all you could ask for, I guess would be a way to put it. But they're also all guys with ERAs in the fours. And if I'm being serious about a playoff run and about having any shot to do anything once I reach the playoffs, I think I need another real starter out there. I need someone better than Derek Rodriguez behind Madison Bumgarner.
Now, Derek Rodriguez has been pretty good, though.
He's been pretty good. Good enough to be the number two starter on a playoff team? I don't know about that.
No, but
much better than you thought he'd be coming out of nowhere as just that kid who happens to be the son of Pudge Rodriguez, but I don't know. And that's a question we'll be asking people. Whichever team you're a fan of in the Bay Area, what do you want at the trade deadline? If you're going to make a playoff run, what does your team need? 888-957-9570. PenskeAutoSales.com text line is 95795. Matt Kolsky and John Dickinson in for Damon Bruce.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Swung on and hammered to deep left. Marchetta knows. Out it goes into the night. Off the bench for Marchetta. And the A's are in front 4-3 on a mammoth home run against Tony Watson. It was worth admiring. Mark took a look. He looked at his dugout. He enjoys the jog around the bases. And the Athletics have a 4-3 lead on his 12th home run of the year.
I'm a Vince Catronio fan. Matt Kolsky and John Dickinson in for Damon Bruce.
Cornucopia of color combinations.
Come on. Catronio. I love that. But Canna knows and out it goes. Is that what it was? Come on. That's quality stuff right there. Here are the Golden Pipes this evening. 6:35 first pitch for game one of part two of the Bay Bridge series. Edwin Jackson on the hill for the Athletics. Derek Rodriguez going for the Giants. Text line, the A's eat up newbie pitchers like Rodriguez. I guess we'll see. PenskeAutoSales.com text line is 95795. Phone lines 888-957-9570. And I want to get into this trade deadline stuff. Whichever team you're a fan of, what do you want at the trade deadline? Because I think both the A's and the Giants, if they're serious about a playoff run, are going to have to improve somewhat. And before we get too deep into that, I think we can give you Exhibit A of why a team might need to improve its starting pitching based on the Giants lineup for this evening. Steven Duggar leads off, followed by Alan Hansen, Andrew McCutchen, Brandon Crawford, Buster Posey, and then that's where it gets weird with Brandon Belt on paternity leave. We've got Pablo Sandoval still filling in at third, so Ryder Jones gets first base duty, and it's Nick Hundley and Gorky Hernandez. And by the way, it's worse than you thought because Buster Posey's catching instead of DHing for some reason. Can you explain that to me, JD?
Well, the Giants like to have Posey catching certain pitchers, so I'm guessing the combo of wanting him behind the plate for Rodriguez, and I would imagine for Bumgarner tomorrow as well, the two night games, that probably tipped the scales toward them having Posey start at catcher.
And he just had a cortisone shot in his hip. The guy's legs have gone. He's what, 30? How old's Buster? I believe
yeah, 30,
he's 30, 30, 30 years old.
30 or 31.
He's been squatting his whole life. 31. He just got a cortisone shot in his hip. And you actually have an opportunity to have his bat in the lineup without forcing him to squat for 9 innings. And you pass? Not because there's some monster power hitter on your bench that you've been looking for an opportunity, but because your backup catcher is going to DH? I don't get that.
Yeah, it has to do with Derek Rodriguez. It has to have, you know, and again, if he thinks he's fully healthy, they want to get him out there to see if he can do it, to see if he's going to need more time throughout the weekend.
Yeah.
The other thought is maybe they know they're not going to have Belt for the entire weekend, so they're picking, you know, tonight and tomorrow is the nights to get him behind the plate and move him to first base or DH him. Something against Manaea, the lefty, on Sunday. So that's a thought as well. But
yeah,
I don't know.
I got to say, to me, I spend a lot of my time discussing the Giants, discussing this issue. They do a lot of things like this that feel oddly stubborn. Whether, especially if it's the, we want Buster to catch Derek Rodriguez. Okay, I understand Buster Posey is a tremendous defensive catcher. I understand that. I understand he calls a great game. I understand you might want your rookie pitcher, doesn't have a lot of experience, throwing it to a experienced, capable backstop. And yet, if we're talking about a guy who's critically important to your offense, who just had a cortisone shot, I would be taking every opportunity to give his legs a break. And we just got a text. It's not like his power is going to come back. It doesn't work like that. I'm not saying his power is... He never had power, first of all. Look at the numbers. Buster Posey was never a power hitter. But it hurts. Squatting for hours and hours hurts. And it clearly has a negative effect on your ability to consistently hit. And Buster Posey's numbers reflect that. So why not give him a break?
It's a great question. And look, I'd probably lean toward easing him back in. But yeah. I also think that they may look at it as you want to have him catch as much as he possibly can. You know he's going to catch Bumgarner tomorrow unless he proves tonight that he's physically unable to do it. So to me, it's two night games and a day game. So the plan clearly is, and with any catcher...
He's not going to catch on...
Right. A manager will go into Sunday. A series and say, well, what night am I going to not have him catch?
Yeah.
And it's either the night game before the day game or it's the day game after the night game. It's one of the two. And I think, you know, Bochy probably has a plan for how he wants to play it on Sunday. You know he's going to catch Bumgarner if he's physically able tomorrow because he's not going to mess that pairing up. And it may come down to he got the cortisone shot. He's the catcher. Let's see what he's got.
Okay. Yeah. That is a short-term view.
And he's a much better, you know, he's a better defensive catcher than Hundley is. I mean, Hundley's
sure.
Really struggled to throw people out. I mean, that's another thing. If you say Hundley's going to be out there, sometimes teams like to just run wild on Hundley, which is another factor in this.
I understand all that. It's just, what are your priorities, I suppose, is what it comes down to. And my priority, if I was in charge of the Giants, would be to protect Buster Posey at all costs, as long as I'm going to keep him on the team. Although, if I was running the Giants, that'd be a whole different conversation. We may get to that. I want to quickly return to the A's in terms of the trade deadline possibilities. If you're in charge of the A's, JD, what are you looking for, generally speaking?
Starting pitching.
It's got to be, right?
Starting pitching.
I mean, you've needed
foremost.
12 starters this year.
And they don't even need an ace. They just need guys that are better than Brett Anderson.
Yeah, see, we got this text from 707. The A's can make the wild card game, but to have a real shot at beating the Astros, Cleveland, or the Red Sox in the postseason, they need a true number one and potentially another 1A or number two. I don't agree with that.
That's not this year. Like,
maybe, there's one guy out there.
But that's not this year for the A's. This is where being ahead of schedule, you know, that once you're, and you saw they did this, you know, 2012, 2013, you don't go get the big boy starter. 2014, the third year when they were having a great year and they had all the all-stars, they went and got two big boy starters. Now, it turns out Samardzija wasn't.
Well, he was for the A's for that couple of months.
Right, but they got Samardzija. It was almost as if they got Samardzija and then realized once they had him, wait a minute, this guy actually isn't an ace.
We need to go get another one.
Yeah. And then they go get John Lester. And it all went according to plan until Lester fell apart in that eighth inning in Kansas City. But you look at it, and to me, they don't need an ace. They just need guys that are better than their back end.
Yeah, but if you could get an ace who, for the sake of argument, was 25 years old and having one of his best seasons. Is he 25? No, DeGrom's older, right? 29? Jacob DeGrom has been excellent. Excellent. And the A's have a farm. I was right the second time. He just turned 30.
Yeah.
The A's have as strong a farm system as anyone in baseball, to the point where they've got more than enough assets to make a trade with some of them. Why not go get a guy like Jacob DeGrom? Why not? How often are you playing? They're 21-6 in the last month. I mean, they've been the best team in baseball for a month. So this is not, you know, it's easy to forget that this is not the A's of last year or the year before or any time in recent memory. They're not just playing pretty good or hanging in there. They're playing great baseball. Now, the division happens to be the toughest in the league, or one of. So they're not winning it at the moment. But the way they're playing, and Billy Beane has said this, you don't wait till next year, even if you've got young talent that's on its way up. They've got enough minor leaguers.
You'd have to give up a lot of them. And to me, you'd give up a lot of them, and then you'd obviously have to pay him his due raise for a couple of years before he becomes a free agent.
Not till 2021,
but you're going to have to, you know, that's a decision. Are you going to give up multiple prospects?
He was $7.4 million this year.
I would wait for the pitching prospects to come up next year. I would wait for a guy like Puck to come back next year and join your rotation after the Tommy John. I would wait for a guy like Lusardo to come back, you know, come up, you know, on the natural path, and then you've got yourself a rotation. You've got Manaea, maybe. You pick and choose from the other guys that you like that are maybe more back-end guys that are pitching in the front end of the rotation by default. I mean, to me, the A's have Manaea and, like,
Mangdon.
And like,
don't forget Mangdon.
Yeah, Mangdon's a four. I don't think Mangdon's great. I really don't.
I think he's much better than a four.
I think he's a four. I think they've got Manaea and a bunch of fours. I think everybody else is a 4 or 5.
I agree with you with the exception of Mangdon.
Right now. I really think
Mangdon has a chance
to be a
2.
Half. Maybe he's 3.5. He's not a 2. I don't think Mangdon's a 2
all right.
at all.
Okay.
Especially the more...
He's 25 and he has great stuff.
He pitches. But... And Mangdon's not even up. Like, that's the other thing.
He's hurt.
Like, and that's... Yeah, and they activated him. They sent him down.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Mangdon... I mean, I don't know what they're doing. They're doing a little Giants-y thing right now with Brett Anderson. Brett Anderson should be gone.
Cahill, too, for that matter.
Like, Brett Anderson's on a whole different... Like he should have been. He shouldn't start again. But they're doing They're doing a little cute nostalgia thing with Brett Anderson. They are. It's weird because you
is
don't.
It?
Think,
I mean, it took. They've had to use 12 guys. I'm not sure it's fair to say it's nostalgia. Although there's probably an element to that.
I don't know what it is.
But at a certain point, they were just looking for guys. Here's what I'm getting at with the minor leaguers.
But they have better options than Brett Anderson, in a similar way that the Giants have better options than Jeff Samardzija.
Yeah, that's probably true. But let me just throw some names at you, because these are all alleged top 200 MLB prospects who are starting pitchers in the A's system. Jesus Luzardo, A.J. Puck, James Caprellian, Logan Shore, Dalton Jeffries, and there's one more I'm missing. Who's Grant Holmes, is it? Did I say that?
No, you didn't say Holmes. You said Shore.
Right. That's already more than a whole rotation. You're telling me they can't afford to give up one or two of those guys, and maybe one or two of their Barreto and Mateo are probably duplication to some degree, right?
Yeah, and I think Barreto's a guy maybe they'd move.
So, but you don't think Barreto and Puck could get you DeGrom?
No, I don't think that alone would get you DeGrom. Not with 2 years of control left. No, I really don't. But I think you want to have more than you need, because and the A's know this better than anybody, because they've got
some
so many pitchers that are injured as well as not pan out.
Oh, by the way, Jarrell Cotton's out there somewhere too.
Exactly. And that's another, like, to me, I would want, if I'm the A's, to ride this out, see what you have this year, definitely make a move, make a mid-level move, better than the guys you have. Give you a little bit of a boost to get into the playoffs. Look, you've had the ace and had the best team in baseball for a better part of the year and then not won. You've done it both ways.
Yep.
We don't know what this team is. This team might be the team full of guys that actually gets it done in the postseason. We don't know. Like, we don't know if Olsen and Chapman and Piscotty and all these guys, like, we don't know that this group might actually be a group that's going to do special things once they get in the postseason. We don't know. But my goal, if I'm the A's at this point, is see what you have, ride it out, knowing that you have all this young pitching in the rotation on its way, and you build that way, and then once you get a year in or 2 years in, then you start to think of, okay, the one move that'll put you over the top. You use the fact that you're a year ahead of schedule to your advantage. I'm not saying do nothing.
So here's the problem for me, is I'm not sure there's much between nothing and the big move. Because let me just throw some names at you. J.A. Happ, Nathan Eovaldi. Are those guys significantly better than Frankie Montas? I'm not sure they are.
No, but they are better than, again, guys like Brian Anderson.
Yeah, but
Edwin Jackson should fall apart at some point.
You're not taking him out of the rotation right now, though.
Not right now, but again, you've got...
There's a lot of arms that have started.
There's season to play out.
But here's what I'm saying. If you believe Manaea and Mangdon, if we're assuming they're healthy... I think from the other 10 guys, you can cobble together three more that are about as good as anyone you would go and get. So that's why if it was up to me, I think if I'm not going to go spend big on a Jacob DeGrom, and I think I mean specifically Jacob DeGrom because I'm not sure there's anybody else out there who's a real ace. If I'm not spending big, then let's just roll the dice with what I've got.
See, I'd take a guy like Happ. To me, is the perfect kind of guy that you go get.
Okay.
Like, Happ's the guy that makes sense because he's better than Cahill and he's better than Anderson.
Well, sell me on J.A. Happ. Why J.A. Happ?
Because he's better than those guys, clear cut. He's solid. He's the definite. Sometimes all you need is better than average. Sometimes better than average when you've got a really good bullpen and a team that loves to hit home runs late in games and steal wins. Sometimes that's all you need. Sometimes it's just about not getting wrecked in the first three innings of a game to where you have to keep coming back from 5-0 down. You boot Cahill. You boot Brett Anderson. You make Edwin Jackson your five. You bring Montas back, and you add Mangdon to the mix, and then that's a serviceable rotation that can get you through the last 2 months of the season and be pretty good if you continue to hit home runs and pitch well at the back end of ball games.
So... just in your mind, J.A. Happ is significantly more valuable than any of that group of Cahill, Anderson, Gossett, Bassett.
He's better than all of them.
That's probably true.
He might be the best pitcher on their staff, to be perfectly honest.
I don't think there's much of an argument for that. Manaea is clearly better.
I'll give you Manaea. That's fine. I mean, I'm not gonna go down the rabbit hole.
I mean,
there.
J.A. Happ has a career ERA of 4, and he's
right.
35.
I'm just saying it's. I'll give you Manaea,
okay.
But everybody else. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of games where he's going to be. I mean, Manaea's up and down.
Manaea's
great, or he's.
He had one really bad month, and otherwise he's been very good.
There's something to be said for the guy that, especially on this A's team, the guy that just keeps you in the game so you can win it late.
I mean, that said, Cahill has been a lot better than Happ is this year. So, although I understand why you're skeptical.
He hasn't been able to stay, you know. On the mound.
Yeah, but he's starting this weekend, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's been good when he's started, so I don't know if I 100%, especially if it involves actually giving up anything, I might rather just roll with Cahill than spend a prospect on someone like Happ. Because there's no argument that Happ is valuable to you past this season. I mean, if you're getting a J.A. Happ, it's definitely just to try to make one playoff run.
That's fair.
So that's why for me, if you're going to go get a guy, it should be a real guy. And then, okay, I'm on board. Let's see if you can win a World Series. If we're talking about a middling guy, I mean, they've managed to hang in with the 12 guys they've pulled out of scrap heaps. So why spend a prospect on someone who's a little better? That's just my view of it. Let's go to Bill in Oakland. What do you got, Bill?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
So, compelled to call you by listening to you. And I agree on both sides. I mean, why spend the money if you don't need to? Why give away a prospect? Because we are loaded. Lizardo is a stud. Putt with his arm injury, he's a stud. Cotton is going to be more than formidable. But if we were to get rid of someone, and crazy or not, I could see getting rid of not go get a Hap, but go get an Ebaldi from Tampa and give away a Davis or Barreto.
Davis.
And maybe a consideration from next year's draft. You don't need to, we got what we got with these kids. They're coming up, and they played together for a while now down in the single A, double A, triple A, and they've been very, very good. They won big time down there, way more than the Giants can ever consider to win because Giants have no farm system. But, we don't need to give anything away. If we're packed, let's just go see what we got right now. If this ain't our year, we got years to come that we can go get someone more than formidable to achieve what we need to achieve. But I think we might be right it out or go get, you don't need a Hap, go get Ebaldi and maybe Chris Davis because he's struggling a little bit. And, the homers are fine.
I got to stop you now, Bill, because I can't, you said twice you want to move Chris Davis and I'm not on board with it. I'm not down with it. I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like moving Chris Davis.
There's not a lot of guys you can pencil in for 40 and 100 every year.
No. I'll say this, and this is another rabbit hole that maybe we don't want to go down. I wouldn't necessarily be as eager as maybe the A's are to signing Chris Davis to an extension or Jed Lowry to an extension,
give him up. I don't know about Lowry, but I think in the American League, I'm not signing Chris Davis for 5 years, but if I can get a reasonable 2-year deal on a Chris Davis, I'm in on that. I think people have severely undervalued just, you look at his last 4 years, and he's a model of consistency. He's going to hit 247, 40 to 43 homers, 100 to 120 RBIs. There's just not a lot of guys you can count on for that level of consistency.
I love it for two. I don't like it for four or
four
more.
Or five. Frankly, four or five for anyone. You got to be a superstar.
But again, there's this belief that, hey, the A's are trying to do things a little bit differently. They may start to shift toward bringing guys back and quality veterans. They're going to extend them, and they want to lock their young players up, sooner than maybe they would previously. All of that said, I'm not sure that...
You got to do it smart.
I'm not sure Davis and Lowry are the guys.
Lowry's definitely not the guy.
Off a career year, this year.
He's been tremendous.
I'm with you more on Davis.
Yeah, Lowry's been tremendous. I don't think you can... you can't overrate how important that hot start was to a team that didn't totally know what it was when the year began. But no, you can't. You can't extend a 36-year-old guy who's having a career year. That's not going to work. Let's quickly go to Dan, driving down Highway 4. You got a good idea for an A's trade target?
Yeah. Hey, guys. First of all, I want to say I love 95.7 The Game. Listen to you guys every day.
Thanks.
I just wanted to ask you guys, because it's been put out there a couple times, what do you guys think about Matt Harvey? He's been pitching okay since he came to Cincinnati, but he might be out there and available.
JD, what do you think? Matt Harvey interests you for the Oakland Athletics?
You don't have to give up a lot.
Yeah, I think it's real interesting. Harvey is the rare case of a 29-year-old guy who I think still has the potential to be really good, but also might be terrible. So it's a weird case, but he's been pretty solid in Cincinnati. 12 starts, 3.64 ERA.
And I'm not sure he's the kind of guy you'd want to bring in and throw him right in a pennant race, necessarily. He's more a guy that I'd like to have and get him into spring training and have him at the start of the year, and then if it doesn't work out, he's out of the rotation. I think you have to look at this as, you need somebody that you think is going to be good.
Because
if you trade for a guy and you're like, all right, this guy's in the rotation, and then he's not good immediately, you're kind of stuck in a way. You don't have time for it to play out. Now, he has been good with Cincinnati, that said. I'd be open to it, but I don't love I don't love giving up a lot for him. I don't love giving up a lot for him, but he has been significantly better with Cincinnati.
Yeah. 1.16 whip is nice. His Cincinnati numbers are very solid. And, you know, something to consider, yes, it's an American League team, but the A's play in a big old ballpark with a lot of foul territory, so that oftentimes can help a guy a little bit. Let's quickly take Frank in Brentwood. What's up, Frank?
Hey, how you doing? Just realistically, I was thinking we're basically playing for a playoff game in New York, and whoever we go out and get would have to be somebody that can handle that stage. I wouldn't trust Cahill or Manea, so you know, getting a bottom guy, I don't think that's going to work. So we're going to need to get somebody that can handle that. Who do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think DeGrom is really interesting. I think you may be right. You want a guy who can do that, but I think at this point, that guy's going to have to be Manea. It's going to have to be Manea who does it. Because in all, like, unless it's DeGrom, I don't see another guy out there who would supplant Manea at the top of the rotation.
Yeah, it's going to be Manea, assuming that you don't need Manea on the last day of the season. It's also going to be, and if it's not Manea, it's probably going to be either the guy you trade for, or it's going to be a guy like Edwin Jackson, who's pitched in a lot of big ballparks.
That would be incredible if Edwin Jackson is their one-game playoff starter. It really would be incredible.
But it's not like that's never happened before.
No, you're right. You're right. We're going to mix it up a little bit next. You may have heard a relatively big announcement made in Warrior Land yesterday morning. DeMarcus Cousins officially with the team. How does that affect the world champions? We get into it next. Matt Kolsky, John Dickinson, in for Damon on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
I don't live for reputations. I live for facts. I'm not looking for the next person's opinion to satisfy or to stroke my ego. Like, that doesn't help me become the person I am by somebody saying I'm a good or bad person. I could care less. I know what I do. I know where my heart is. My heart's always in the right place. So with that being said, I'm fine. Like I've dealt with it. I've become numb to it. I came in this league at a young age. I've seen it. I was in the beginning of the social media era. I mean, it doesn't bother me.
Matt Kolsky and John Dickinson in for Damon Bruce on a Friday afternoon. Damon, a little under the weather, hopefully back on Monday. That, of course, the voice of the newest Warrior. Well, I guess Jonas Derebko is a slightly newer Warrior. The newest Warrior who was once an All-Star, DeMarcus Cousins. I have something for this. That's it. I am extremely excited about this. And now you, JD, have spent a little more time directly around DeMarcus than I did. But my perception of him has always been a guy who the view of him has been hurt a lot by the situations he has been in.
I think that's pretty accurate.
And the biggest reason I always fell back on this assumption in my head is his basketball. You don't end up with the sort of game DeMarcus Cousins has without being in the gym 24/7 working, without being passionate about improving at your craft, about being as good as you can be. This is not a Dwight Howard situation where he blasts into the league as a dominant athlete who pushes people around and is a physical specimen. Yeah, he's big and strong and athletic, but what sets DeMarcus apart is skill, is the stuff you develop by spending hours working on your post footwork. And to me, when you got a guy who's clearly smart and clearly hardworking, but loses his temper a lot in a terrible losing situation, I'm much more apt to blame the situation than the guy.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I did as far as him and Sacramento goes. I mean, there were many people in Sacramento that, you know, made DeMarcus Cousins the reason that things didn't change sooner. Well, DeMarcus Cousins has been gone a year and a half, and they're exactly what they've been. Only they're winning fewer games.
Right, because they don't have one of the better players in the league.
And you can make a case that, well, wait a minute, they were winning 33 or 34 games, and what's the difference between winning 26 or 27? And that's fair. Again, in the NBA, you don't want to be middle of the pack. You don't want to be the third worst team that misses the playoffs.
Right.
I get all of that, But they never really built around him properly.
Or at all.
So it, and he has enough of a, you know, bottom line, he has a temper. He does have a temper.
The technical fouls are one thing you can't ignore.
And he does have a little bit of the world's against me.
Yes, he's got a chip
complex
on his shoulder.
And that's
a lot of guys.
A lot of guys have that.
Yes.
A lot of guys have both of those things. You know, something goes wrong and you go, well, why me? Why the hell me? Why is it me? Why is this ref giving me a tech? Why is this coach benching me and not the scrub that is starting instead of me?
I'm trying to think if there's anyone else around here who might fall into that.
Noted. Great. We'll see y'all soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lots of guys in the league have a chip on their shoulder and a bit of a temper. And frankly, a lot of the best guys in the league have a chip on their shoulder and a bit of a temper.
I'm not sure DeMarcus Cousins is at a point, like, he needed to go to a stable,
yes,
organization that has winners. And that could be the head coach, the general manager, team president type. He needed to go to an established franchise,
yeah,
in my mind.
Although even last year with the Pelicans, before the injury.
Correct.
It was pretty good.
Correct.
Yeah. And they're, although they have a stable head coach and a superstar, they're not a particularly stable organization.
I actually think you could make a case they're not, and it still worked out,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah. All it was, I mean, is they were winning.
Look, Dell Demps and Alvin Gentry were going to get fired if that team had been bad last year.
Yeah,
both of them were going to get fired.
And Demps, I don't know that he's great, but Gentry's a pretty good coach.
And they played up-tempo him. Look,
they figured out how to play together.
The reality is, and yes, they played faster after Cousins was gone, and they added Mirotić, because they added Mirotić,
they went on a run.
They went on a run, and it's a fact, they were better after Cousins went down for those reasons. But they were on track to make the playoffs regardless.
And I think,
and he was terrific.
Yes, and if you look at the last couple weeks before he got hurt, it seemed like they had found something,
yes,
where they really were kicking it into gear. And, you know, to some degree, it's a bummer for the NBA that we don't get to see a full season of that. On the other hand, I think Golden State Warrior fans are pretty happy about it.
My point being on the New Orleans situation versus Sacramento, all it took, because the big knock on DeMarcus Cousins coming out of Sacramento from people in Sacramento that didn't care for him, mm-hmm, was this guy's never going to be a winner.
Right.
This guy is not a winner.
He's
you
a malcontent.
You can't win with him.
Right.
Well, all it took for DeMarcus Cousins to become a winner was one full season away from Sacramento.
Teammates, yeah.
That's good, all it took.
Good teammates.
All it took.
Yeah.
And whether that means, okay, he can't be the best player on the team, he could be the second best player on the team, whatever that is, whether it means he's got to have a head coach that he likes and respects, which I think you could make a case he had that for the second time in his career, and Alvin Gentry, the first time was Michael Malone before the Kings blew that up for
which
no
is
reason.
Another unbelievable decision.
So, and Michael Malone, again, has done all right.
Yeah.
Away from Sacramento.
I think you can say he's done quite well for himself.
You can't say DeMarcus Cousins isn't a winner. Okay. That's number one. But to the original point, you put him in a stable franchise with a ton of talent around him, and you take the pressure off of him having to come back and contribute, and I think this is a perfect match,
no
if
question,
he's willing to take the pay cut that he was willing to take. And I think, you know, it was pretty clear now. You can read the tea leaves, you can go back. He would have taken a lot of money from a bad team.
Yep.
But he wasn't going to have a bad team say, "Eh, you know what, DeMarcus, we're only going to give you $8 million because that's all we have and you need to prove it to us."
Right.
No. If I'm going to prove it and I'm DeMarcus Cousins, I'm going to go to a good team and take a little bit less than the crappy teams were offering me.
It's a really smart, savvy decision by DeMarcus. And frankly, the fact that he allegedly called the Warriors makes me even more convinced that he understands what his role is here. He wanted to come be a cog in the wheel and not have to be the wheel carrying the entire bus.
Yeah.
And I heard a caller ask a question with Steiny and Ratto earlier. What is the best way for DeMarcus to maximize his next contract, which we, I think, assume is the goal. He signs a one-year deal with the Warriors for the mid-level so that he can sign a long-term deal for a lot of money next offseason. I think that is the presumption most people have of what DeMarcus's plan is. I still kind of think that he might surprise people and come back for $6 million next year, but that's a long way away. The question of what is the best way for him to maximize his next contract is particularly interesting for DeMarcus, because obviously part of it is he has to show he can get on the floor and get up and down after his Achilles injury and that he's basically at least close to what he was physically. Once that's out of the way, though, and you could do that in a workout. You don't need to play NBA basketball, really, to do that. Once that's out of the way, the thing that's held DeMarcus back from potentially signing a big deal in free agency, besides the Achilles, is the perception of his attitude. And so it's really not about numbers for him in terms of earning money. He doesn't have to put up 25 points a game. The best way he can maximize that next contract is to prove he's a team player, is to prove he can be a winner, is to prove he can just fit in. And so you're going to have a guy as talented as any center in the league who, in order to make himself the most possible money, just has to be a good teammate.
Yeah, and to me, I think there's a little more to it than that. For me, it's win a championship. I'll start at the end and work my way back.
Yes.
Okay, win a championship, obviously, because there will be a faction of people who don't like DeMarcus Cousins.
Period.
If he goes to the Warriors and they have five All-Stars and they don't win the championship, well, DeMarcus Cousins,
That's right.
he blew it up.
Yeah.
He messed it all up. So win the championship is number one. Number two for me is show that you can be healthy by the middle of the season. I'm not going to say the All-Star break, because the All-Star break is damn near March now.
Yeah. Yep.
And the season starts early. It's kind of like the conversation we were having about the MLB All-Star game.
All-Star games keep getting later and later.
He needs more than the last 28 games for me.
He
needs
about
half 40.
Season. Yeah,
he needs about 40 for me. So if that puts it middle of January, be healthy and ready to start in the middle of January. And as far as numbers go, where I think this is actually an advantage for DeMarcus Cousins coming to the Warriors is if he's healthy, there's no pressure on him to put up big numbers, because he wouldn't be putting up big numbers anyway with this team. So
Exactly. People
aren't really going to know whether he's not putting up numbers because he's not fully healthy, or he's not putting up numbers because he's playing with four other All-Stars and three other scorers. So that's, I think, an advantage for him in this.
Absolutely.
So numbers-wise, it's 13-10? 14-12?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Just look healthy and
perfect.
Be a good teammate.
Because he's not going to be 25-10. He's just not with this team. He wouldn't be fully healthy.
No. Let's get legal.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.